I'm excited to be here this morning. I want to begin by saying thank you to the church. Last week, at 10 minutes after 10, my mom passed away. And that's when the call came, about 10:15 or so. I got the call before I came out here. But what was encouraging to me is this, that I went and made some visits afterwards, and I sat around with some people visiting after my mom passed away, some of my family. As we were talking, the realization was this. I came, and after I announced it at the end of the service, you guys came and you prayed for me. I'm sitting in a home and sitting with individuals who have no family like you. I was really blessed to sit there and look around and see some other faces to know they don't have a support system like I have. The church is so important in our lives. It plays a vital role in our lives. And I know you've had your times. I want to tell you, I want to be there for you like you guys are there for me. Because we need one another. And that's what church is about, you know. And it kind of, what on earth are we here for? Why are we here? You know, it really fits with the theme of what we're talking about. You know, am I just passing through this world? Is that all there is? Is it all about me and what I'm about and who I am? And we've just been looking at that. I just want to say, I love this church and I love you guys. And it's a pleasure. 30 plus years now, about 30 years and a few months to be here. And to know that this is a wonderful place and to be a part of your lives and you guys to be a part of mine, especially at times like this. And I just want to say thank you and that I love you and I really appreciate what you do and who you are to me because you are my family. And many of you are closer to me than even my own physical family. And so I appreciate that. So thank you, and I love you. But let's get in. This is our last message in this series on What on Earth Am I Here For? We're kind of wrapping up. In your worship folder, there's a little outline. You might want to pull that out so you can follow along and kind of fill in some blanks. And we've been going through this. What am I here for? And we've been looking at these five purposes that God has put us here for. That God, when he created us, I want to make sure you understand this, that when God created you, when God formed you, there was a purpose for you. And I was visiting with somebody this morning talking about being an accident in life, that they were an accident. I'm going to tell you, there is no accident, that every life is planned by God. Now, you might have accidental parents. You might have parents who have no idea what's happening. You may have parents who have not been very supportive and encouraging in your life. But I want to tell you something. You are no accident. And it's no accident you're here today. Maybe this is what you need to hear today. That every life's a gift of God. I literally believe when I read God's word and we read the creation story. Anybody ever read the creation story? And it says that God took the dust of the earth and he formed man and he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. I want to tell you, I believe every one of us, when we are born, God has breathed into us the breath of life. That every life has the breath of God in it. And I believe that. And because of that, we have a purpose. So we've been looking at these five purposes. And if you remember, we began with the one that says that we are called to be loved. That God didn't call us to do something. That God called us to receive something. That God called us to be loved. That God wants to love us and love on us. And that's what God wants to do. So we're first called to be loved. And then God called us to belong. That I need to belong, that it's not just being here in this earth and I'm on my own, that I belong to a family. That family is called a church. And that God wants me to belong to his family and the local family called the church. And so we need to belong, and we looked at what it means to belong. And then we talked about become, that God wants us to become something. Now, I told my kids, and I believe this, that you can be anything in life you want to be. I believe that. Can I be a singer? Wait a minute. I just told you you can be anything you want to be in life, and you guys just told me I can't be a singer. You know, there are some things that I might not be created to be. I want to tell you something. You're created to be something, something special, something unique. No, I cannot sing, and they do not want me to sing. They will not allow me to sing, and I don't want to sing, all right? All right. Now, I can't sing. Now, I can't be an NFL football player either. All right. You know, that's just somebody. Wait, don't laugh that hard. You're not supposed to laugh that hard. But I can't be an NFL. I mean, there's some things, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. When God created me, he created me to become something. To become someone. And nobody can be me. I'm going to tell you. Here's what I believe. God created me to be pastor of First Baptist Church of Salida. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Before this world was created, I don't care how old you are, before you were born, before I was born, God knew that 2013, I would be here. God knew that. I want you to know that. God wants you to become something. It begins becoming like Jesus. We've talked about that. It's becoming like Jesus. But he wants you to become something. I was giving one of the young ladies up here a bad time. She is an English scholar. I'll give her that. All right, Emily, you can be my English scholar. She corrects my spelling and keeps me in line there. But I am an ace at math. All right. That's my subject. Because we're all different. We're unique. But God wants us that way. See, God created us to become something. And don't try to be somebody else. I'm going to tell you, when you get to heaven, God's not going to say, hey, Gary, how come you didn't be like Billy Graham? I'm in big trouble. You know, how come you're not like Andy Stanley or Charles Stanley or David Jeremiah or some of these other preachers? Because that's not who he created me to be. He created me to be Gary. He created you to be. Just put your name in there. And being that, you become like Christ. Now, we're different. We're unique. See, God called us to be loved. He called us to become. He's called us to belong. He's also, last week we looked at, he called us to be a blessing. That I'm not here on earth just about me. It's not about how much I can accomplish, how much I can achieve, how much I can earn, how big a balance I can create in my bank account. It's not about all that prestige. It's not about all that. It's not what God called me to do. I'm here to bless others. And then as I bless others, I can be blessed. Yeah. The Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea. You know why? Because all it does is receive. And it dies. And if all we do is receive, we die. And see, I need to be a blessing. I become a channel of blessings. Wasn't there an old song? Anybody remember the old song, Tim, that we used to sing? Make me a channel of blessings. Anybody remember that song? Some of you are shaking your head. Some of you are going, I have no idea what he's talking about. Yeah. I guess I am getting old. Younger. You know, be a blessing to others. And today, I want to kind of take in this idea that the last purpose that God called us to do, the last thing God has asked us to do, and what's interesting, it's the last thing, but it's the most lasting, is God called us to be sent. That God called us to be sent. I'm going to look at that. But here's what I want you to understand. That when God created us, God wanted a family. And you got your little outline here, and I put it this way. Here was God's plan. Here's what God wanted. When God created us before the Garden of Eden, in God's mind, here's the dream. God is gathering a family that will love and live with him forever. See, that's what God wants. God wants a family that he's going to love and love him back, and he's going to live with and be with him forever. That's eternity. That's heaven. That's what God wants. That's God's desire for every life. Every life that has been born, that is going to be born, or that will be born, God wants to experience this life. He gave that job to announce it, and I'm going to preach this the first Sunday in December. It's called Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. He called Abraham out, and he said, Abraham, I want you to be a blessing to all nations. And then after Abraham's done all his work and all the sons of Abraham all the way through Jesus Christ, the job's become ours as a church. Us as a people of God. Us as a child of God. That we have a challenge to help people discover that family of God. Help people experience that family of God. Look what the scripture says here in Ephesians 1:5. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family. By bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. And this gave him great pleasure. It's really amazing. God's sitting there saying, I want to love you. That's kind of what we talked about first. I want to love you, and I want you to be part of my family. Why don't you circle that word adopted? You know, there's only two ways into a family. You can get into a family one of two ways. You're either born into the family or you're adopted into the family. All right? We have been adopted into God's family. He wants to adopt us. He wants to make us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He wants us to be part of his family. See, that's what God wants. That's his dream, is to create this family. It's who he wants. And look again at the scripture here. In Romans chapter 10. I like this verse 13 the best. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm going to stop right there. Why don't you circle will be saved? That's an important verse for me. I didn't become a Christian until I was 17. Many of you have heard my story, and I've shared my story. And I didn't become a Christian until I was 17. You know, so I have a little bit of a past. I have a little bit of a history of time before I knew Jesus. And this is important to me because I like that. It's not I might be saved. It's not we're going to wait and see what happens with the rest of your life. Jesus says, listen, when you accept me, you will be saved. I like that, whatever grammar text that says. you will be saved. See, God saves us. When we are adopted into his family, he saves us. He brings us into his family, and we become his children. See, not everyone's a child of God. You know, when God created them, everybody has a chance to be a child of God. But you have to be adopted into that family, and you will be saved. Then he goes on, look at what he says. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? All right, you got to believe. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? Okay, they need to hear. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Somebody's got to tell them. And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what the scripture means when it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I think we just sung a song. Didn't we just sing a song on that? I got beautiful feet. Yeah. You want to see? I go, I don't guess so. I don't guess so. I told you my mom passed away. My mom, I'll give you a hint. I have something funny. My mom had webbed toes. I think one of my kids do too, but I'm not going to tell you which one. You'd have to ask them. You know, two of her toes were, you know. But we have a blessing. I want you to circle that word being sent. That God wants to send us, all right, into the world. To adopt others into the family of God. See, I want to tell you, nobody, you know, to be a faith in God, there's no force into faith. You know, we don't force. I want to persuade people. Paul, matters of fact, almost persuaded King Agrippa. He wanted to persuade people, but we don't force them. And so somebody has to go and tell them. Somebody has to be sent. So that's our fifth purpose. Our fifth calling in life is to be sent. If you got your little blank out there, you want to put that in there. Sent to bring others into God's family. See, we have a job to go and tell others. Now, that's probably the most scariest of all the five purposes. Pretty good to be loved. You know, pretty good to belong. Pretty good to become. Pretty good to bless and serve and minister. Pretty good to send. To be sent. To tell somebody about Jesus. Whoa. But I want to tell you something. This is a holiday season. And I had a prayer meeting this morning, and I was thinking this in the prayer meeting. We talked about it. It's holiday season. I'm going to tell you, does it get less stressful or more stressful during the holidays? Anybody? Does time just seem to go easier and it's better and families are all harmonious and everybody's getting along and everybody's at peace because it's a holiday season and everybody's happy and nobody's going to get all stressed out over holidays, right? Isn't that how it usually goes? Isn't holidays that way? You guys are sitting there going, oh, no. You know, holidays are a stressful time. See, we live in a world that's full of stress and we have an answer. We live in a world that's hurting. A world that's literally bleeding. We live in a world that's struggling. We live in a world with broken relationships, families that are broken, people that are hurting physically, spiritually, emotionally. And here we have a message of a God that loves them. We have this message that says, all God is asking is be loved. Be loved. Will you accept my love? See, if I sit here and I had the cure to cancer, and I said, I've got a secret, and I can cure cancer, but I'm not telling anybody, what would you guys think of me? If I had the cure for AIDS, and I had that cure, and it's right here in my back pocket, I got this piece of paper, and it says, here's the cure to AIDS. It could solve the AIDS crisis in Africa, and in America, and around the world. And I said, but I'm not going to share it. What would you guys think of me? I would be a lovable guy, right? Man, I'd be a sweetheart of a guy. I'd be a jerk, wouldn't I? You know, I'd be selfish. We got the greatest message in the world. A message that God loves everyone. That if you need peace, I can give you peace. If you got a past to forgive, I can help you get over that past. You got broken relationships? I can help you heal that broken relationship. You got struggles and battles in your life? I can walk with you through those. You got a burden? I can carry it for you. We got an answer for all of those issues. Are we a jerk because we don't tell the message of Jesus? Can I be a jerk because I don't share the gospel, the good news of Jesus? Yes, I'm going to challenge you this morning. This is a holiday time. We need to be telling the good news of Jesus. You hear people get mad when the store started taking Christmas out of their stores. Remember, anybody get a little, you know, perturbed when they take Merry Christmas out of the stores, you know, and they're trying to take God out of everything? We get a little perturbed about it, right? But do we do anything about our neighbor who doesn't know Jesus? Or maybe a family member? You know, I got a brother and a sister that don't know Jesus. You know, I got a dad I'm not sure about. You know, I got an uncle that I'm praying for right now. I'm going to call him this next week. I've been praying before I call him. That's kind of got me involved in church, but hasn't been to church and been very hostile towards God lately. There's a hurting world out there, and we got the cure. Will we tell them the message? See, we're sent to tell this world the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here in John chapter 20. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Why don't you circle those words, sent and sending? See, God's sending us. See, we think I become a Christian and I'm done. It's easy to be a Christian. It's easy to become a Christian. You know, you hear me say this all the time. It's about reaching a point in your life. And I try to make it as plain as simple. You know, being a Christian isn't somebody you walk in awe, you shuck somebody's hands, you know, it was dipped in some water. You know, that's not what makes you a Christian. You hear me say this week in and week out. You know, you got to reach a point in your life where you kind of come to a point where it's like, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. You know, you kind of cross that invisible line of saying, God, I'm in. I'm all in. And we cross that line. But that's the beginning. That's the starting line. And from there, we should be going out with the message of Jesus Christ and telling others. Look again at what God's word says here in John chapter 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go. Why don't you circle to go? We're to go. We have a life mission. We're on a journey. We're going somewhere. To go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You know what's sad? We try to accumulate things that don't last. I was going through some old pictures this last week and looking at some of my, and I remember when I was a kid, my mom bowled. Anybody remember bowling? Anybody go bowling? I mean, that was a big thing back in the 60s. Anybody, you know, they used to always go bowling. I remember she had trophies in the attic. We used to have bowling trophies all over the attic in the garage. And here's a picture of her, a couple of pictures of her, big pictures of her bowling and all sorts of stuff. Do you know where those trophies are now? They're in a landfill on Gerber Road in Sacramento. Yeah. How many of us accumulate things that we drive hard for, but they just don't last? Positions, possessions, power. I mean, you know, I shared with you my car, and that first car that Laura and I bought, the very first new car we bought together, and man, I washed, waxed, I took care of that car. I don't know where that car is now. You know? We pursue things that don't last. And here we're talking about fruit that lasts. What's that fruit that lasts? I've shared with you last week, and I'm going to share it again. There's two things in heaven that you can count on. The Word of God, the truth, never fades. And people. That's it. That's all. Will there be people in heaven because of you? Lasting fruit. This is what excites me. And this, I really dream of this, that I'm going to be walking the streets of heaven and the greatest reward. People talk about crowns and glory and mansions in heaven. None of that matters to me. What I'm looking forward to is to be walking the streets of heaven and somebody come up to me and grab me by the hand and say, thank you. Thank you for telling me the good news. Thank you for sharing about Jesus. Thank you for coming by and visiting me in the hospital. Thank you for coming by. That's what's going to excite me, is that thank you. See, and it's amazing. I remember I did ministering with Bill Sims, a friend of ours, that evangelist. Many of you know who he was and who he is. He just moved out of the area. We went to the big town of Fireball. Anybody ever been to Fireball? Anybody know where Fireball is? Yeah, some of you guys, I have no idea. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Guess what they were having? They were having the Cantaloupe Festival at Fireball. All right. And so I'm walking around all the booths at the Cantaloupe Festival. And as I'm walking through, visiting, passing out flyers to get people to go see the Jesus movie. They were going to show it in the parking lot of a church across the street from the park they were having all the exhibits at. And as I'm walking around, all of a sudden I hear, "Gary, Gary." And I turn around and it's one of the kids from Salida that I played volleyball and baseball with and worked with. And as I'm walking by, so I had to stop in the big town of Fireball, Cantaloupe Festival. And this kid seen me and come up and started talking to me and tell me thank you. And we were sharing and visiting. And I think, you know what? That's what heaven's going to be like. To be walking around heaven in the presence of God and somebody yelling, "Gary, Gary." And you turn around and I'm going to be, you know what's going to be amazing? Maybe there's going to be somebody you don't even know you had an impact on. Somebody that you had no idea that watched your life. That's going to say, hey, you don't know me, but because of you, because you shared with so-and-so, and you shared with so-and-so, and they shared with so-and-so, it's because of you. I visited my cousin. I talked to my cousin. You know, when somebody passes away, you get to talk to a lot of family. And I was talking to my cousin, and I was sharing with him. He's a good Christian young man in Colorado. And we were sharing on the phone, and we had quite a long conversation, and in the end, I was talking about one of his sisters, because his sister, how important one of his sisters is to me, because she's the one that sat there at the table on that night. Yeah, I was set up. Anybody ever been set up for Jesus? You know, we had Sunday night church. After church, we went, the youth group went to my aunt and uncle's house, and we're sitting there playing spoons and cards and eating McDonald's hamburgers, and all of a sudden, everybody disappears but my cousin. I didn't think anything. I'm just sitting there. They all just got up and went into the kitchen, and we're sitting there at the table, and she pulls out this little book called Four Spiritual Laws. And she opens this little book up and begins to share with me about Jesus Christ. And when she got done, Linda read the little prayer in the back, and I prayed that prayer, and I accepted Jesus Christ at 17 years old at that dining room table with my cousin. You think she means something special to me? When I was talking to my cousin, when I was talking to her brother, I was telling her how special his sister is to me. He didn't know she was the one that led me to the Lord. I just imagine what heaven's going to be like, something that lasts forever. We pursue so many things. You know, I want a better job, a bigger home, a newer car. I want this. I want these accolades over here. I want this position. I want these possessions. We pursue all these things, and we miss the thing that lasts forever. Because it's scary. I'm going to be honest. It's scary to tell somebody about Jesus. But it's the greatest reward you can have. I don't know why, and what's so funny about that one that shared the Jesus with me, the cousin that shared Jesus, she was the youngest one of them all. They got a younger sister, but in the youth group, she was the youngest one of my three, the three girls and the boy. She was the youngest one of the three girls that shared with me the message. Yeah. It's real funny. I wanted to get baptized, but I didn't walk an aisle. You know, back then you had to walk the aisle and get baptized, and I just never did it. And my aunt says, "When are you going to do it?" And I go, "I don't know. I'm ready. I was afraid to walk the aisle. Yeah, I didn't want to walk up in front of everybody. You know." And so she says, "I walk with you." So she walked the aisle with me. Again, very special person in my life. I want to say, who will you be special for? Who will you bless? See, and God's called us. He sent us. See, here's this picture I want to have. We're going to come into heaven, and God's going to sit there and say, "Okay, how's it going? You know, and here, how did you do with my purposes? Did you let me love you? Did you allow me to love you?" And it's like, "Yes, God, I allowed you to love me. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me and adopting me into your family, God. Yes, that was, yes, God, I love you. Did you belong? Did you belong? It's not all about you. Did you belong? Did you join? Did you become part of a team that I had? Yes, Lord. I've joined your church and I committed and I served and I became a part of what you were doing and I served your church. Yes, I belonged. How about, did you become? Did you become who I called you to become? Not become somebody else. Did you become who I called you to become?" And I'm going to go, "Yes, God, I'll become Gary. That's all I could do. I can't spell. I can't play football. But God, I try to preach. I became who you called me to become. I tuck those gifts. You know, I become, yes, God, I wanted to bless. I ministered. I served. Yes, God, you said bless. That was one of your purposes. And yes, I want to be a blessing to others. And I want to serve and minister and love on others like you have loved on me, God. And I want to do that. And see, God's going to say, how about to be sent? Did you go? You know, did you go? I think this is a challenge. You know, and it's a challenge for us. Because I want to make sure you understand something. It's ordinary people. He's not looking for extraordinary people. He's looking for ordinary people empowered by God making a difference together that's going to last wherever you are. Ordinary people. He's not looking for just preachers, all right? You know, I'm not the hired gun of First Baptist Church Centerpoint, all right? I'm not the hired gun. You know, can you come over and share the message with somebody? I get those phone calls and I go because I want to share. But it's more exciting to me when you do. When you share, you know, everybody, ordinary people, all of us have this mission. We're all empowered. You're not on your own. You got the power of God in you. There's a Holy Spirit that dwells in every believer's life that He's empowered us with to go with us. We're empowered by God. And I join others to do it. It's not just making a difference by myself. We're doing it together. Why do you hear us talk about small groups all the time? Right here is talking about becoming a part of different things and doing that together. And wherever you are, you know, it's not a matter just we're going to go here or to there. So if you're looking at your outline, I'm going to put it this way. What does God want me to do? What does God want you to do? Here's the scripture. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem and all Judea, in Samaria, and everywhere in the world. Tell everyone about me. Why don't you circle that? That's what He wants us to do. He's called us to be a blessing. He's called us to help others find Jesus personally. See, we live in a world that right now has turned their back on God. Everywhere you see, they're turning it back. I was just reading, and we were talking about it last week, the atheist church in Los Angeles. There's an atheist church in New York. You know, and they're starting these churches. And what's funny to me is I'm waiting because here's what's going to happen. Anytime you get a bunch of people, everybody gets in. It's always peaceful and calm, and everybody always agrees, and everybody's always so loving, and there's never any disagreements, and there's always happiness and smiles on the face, right? It's not like that. Even in a church, it's different. It's struggle. It's hard. We get hurt. People get hurt. I get hurt. I say dumb things. Da-da-da-da. You know, stuff happens. But you know what? We got a God who loves us and teaches us to forgive others. Now, what are you going to do in a gathering of a bunch of people that don't have God in it when you have disagreements? I think that's just going to implode at some point. I just believe it's going to implode because without God, we can't even get along all the time. I can't even get along in my family sometimes. Anybody got some rotten kids besides mine? I love them. You know, but sometimes I want to wring their necks sometimes. Anybody? You know, we can't even get along. We got to have God. You got to have God. And we are sent to tell everyone that good news. And we got this message to tell. And we're supposed to go all over. So I put it, here's three, four things real quick. We're to be sent to my family, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers. I stopped right there. I could keep going. If you're in school, you got fellow students, high school, college. There's people we need to tell about Jesus. I got family. Like I said, I'm going to use my mother's passing as an opportunity to tell others about Jesus. That uncle's house that I accepted the Lord at has run from God. I don't know where he's at now, spiritually. And I'm going to call him. I know he's had some words with his sisters that were very negative. And he lost two of his sisters just in the last 3 months, my mom and another one, other sister. And they asked him about the Lord. And so I can't wait to talk to him. I don't know what he's going to say to me. But I'm praying now that God will prepare his heart for me to speak to. I'm going to use these opportunities. I got family. I got friends. You know, I got neighbors. I got coworkers. I got neighbors that, you know, people would say, well, hey, They were like me before I became a Christian. Whoa. We got this challenge. I'm being sent to small group. I'm not on my own. We talk about small groups in our church all the time. You need to be in a small group. I tell you, there's three things in your life you have to have. Three things you have to have. You got to have a church. You got to have a small group. And you got to have somebody who can say the hard things to you. You have to have those three things in your life. And so we need to go and we need to talk to others about the small group. We need to get in that little small group because that's where we gain strength. That's where we gain encouragement. That's where we gain part of our family and part of our feelings from. You know, we can come here and it's nice and you recognize people and we greet one another. But when you get in that small group, you get to know one another. And you're there through those times that are hard and difficult. And so we go as a small group and we go into our small group and we invite people into our small group who don't know Jesus. Come and study God's word. Come and look at this and experience God. And the third thing I put here is, what do we need to do? We need to be sent to the whole world. We need to go to the whole world. Everywhere needs a message of Jesus Christ. Everyone needs to hear of Jesus Christ. And just a real quick point here. This church belongs to, it is a Southern Baptist church. We're an independent church. We're Center Point. We have all sorts of identities. But what we do, and here's what's one of the most important things to me about our church. You know, there's three things for me. It's got to be the Word of God. There's three reasons why I'm a Baptist. Three reasons why it's important for me in this church. One is, this is the book right here. That's it. There's no other thing out there to give us direction. Whatever this book says, that's it. You know, I'm Baptist because you know what? This is an independent church. There's nobody telling this church what to do either. We can do all sorts, and we've done some crazy things in this church. And God, and that's what we're going to do. Nobody tells us what to do. And the third thing is, God says, go on missions, and this church does. We belong, and we give to what's called the cooperative program. We cooperate with 40,000 other churches. We could not send one missionary anywhere as a church. But because we cooperate with these 40,000 other churches, we have missionaries in over 120 nations, 5,000 of them. This church has missionaries in over 5,000 in other nations, in 120-plus nations. We have missionaries all over America. We have missionaries right here in our county because we're part of this group called the Cooperative Program. And I'll give you a little hint. There's been a great tragedy in the Philippines. Anybody seen the news lately and seen what happened in the Philippines? Great tragedy in the Philippines. You know, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of good organizations you can give to. Now, I'm not going to put any of them down. I have some questions about some of them, but I'm not going to do that from here. But I'm going to tell you, if you give through the Cooperative Program, you give through disaster relief within the Southern Baptist Convention, 100% of that money goes to that relief. When you give money for hunger relief, it goes 100% to the hunger. Because we already got the organization. We pay for that. We had our Lottie Moon offering coming up pretty soon. That's how we pay for the structure. We've got the structure already there. We already got the missionaries there. We already got the churches there. You know, there's churches in the Philippines that we already know about. And they know what their needs are. I don't know what their needs are. That we can give to that organization. See, we have a mission to the whole world. It's not just about here. We have a mission to the Philippines right now. But we have missionaries all over. So, see, that God called us to do that. And God wants us to do that. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen. The message of Jesus Christ is going to go out. And I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what the U.S. government does. I don't care what the French government does. I don't care what Iraq, Iran, I don't care what anybody does. God's message is going to go out because God is on the throne. Listen to what his word says here, Isaiah 14. It will happen as I have planned. It will happen as I have planned. It will come about according to my purpose. I have a plan for the whole earth, for my mighty power reaches throughout the world. God's plan will be accomplished. People will try to short-circuit it. They will even think they won. You know what? The devil thought he won when he nailed Jesus to the cross. Party time. He's dead. 3 days later, I'm dead. Yeah. God's plan will ring. Here's the only question. Will I be a part of it? Will I be a part of what God's going to do? Will I be a part of what God wants to happen? There are people that need to hear the message. There are people that need to have the message taught. I came out, and I became a Christian in the 70s, very early 70s, And it was the people, man, it was really big, the people movement. You know, anybody remember the 70s? We sat around playing the guitar. Anybody? Come on. Some of you guys have to remember the 70s. You sat around out in the front of the churches playing your guitar and just singing, well, some of those songs. One of my favorite ones, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. We sung that here in the church a few times. You know, we'd sit there and strum the guitar and play those. We're going to change the world. Well, we haven't done a real good job. There's still a lot to do. I'm not going to give up on my generation yet, but maybe it's going to be your generation. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed because God guaranteed it. It's going to happen. He said it. Will we be a part of it? Will I be a part of what God is going to do? Will I be a part of what God is going to do? Listen to what Paul says here, Acts chapter 20. I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me, to tell people the good news about God's grace. I see a hurting world. I sat there on a couch. My mom had passed away, and I see people who are hurting in my own family. I've got a brother right now who's struggling, and I texted him this week. We don't know if he's had a stroke or what. We're trying to figure out what's going on, and I texted him this week, just, how you doing? He's taking it really hard. I want to know how you're doing, and I ended it with, I'm praying for you. And he texted me back, thank you. That's the first text I got from him in over a year. There's a hurting world out there like them. Your neighbor, your friend, your coworker, somebody sitting next to you in school. There's a hurting world out there that we have a message that gives hope. And this is a perfect time. To me, this is the greatest. It's Christmas. Everybody's going to be talking about it. But it's the most stressful time, and we have the good news of Jesus Christ. So how are we going to do it? I'm going to go real quickly how to do it. Real quick. Hang with me. How do I do it? Pray. I pray that people will say yes to God. This morning, 9:30, I'm over here in the prayer room, and I'm praying. And I was praying for what we're going to talk about and that people would have a receptive heart to the message of Jesus Christ. And I think the holiday season is one of the greatest times. Look what the scripture says. I like the way Matthew has this here. Jesus said, there are so many people to harvest, but only a few workers to help to harvest them. Pray to the Lord who owns the harvest that he will send out more workers to gather the harvest. Everyone deserves to hear the message. Everyone deserves to hear that message. Will we be the ones to share it? Will you be the one to tell somebody? Is God saying to you, go? Now, as we look at this, I want to make sure you get a picture here. I'm not talking about going all around the world. I'm talking about just going to your neighbor, to your friend. I'm going to tell you some of the greatest experiences I've had is standing in line. And just this last week, I meet with another pastor from Empire. We're sitting over at McDonald's on I Street. We go down there and we just have breakfast down there and just visit. And a young lady comes out that's working, and she sits down. We're sitting on a high table. She kind of sits at a table there, and she starts talking to us. We didn't initiate the conversation. She starts talking to us, and she's sharing all sorts of stuff. And her boss wouldn't let her sign in early, so she's just frustrated. She's just, you could just see the going on in her. And so we're talking with her, and in the midst of the conversation, she's telling us some more thing about her life. She left her husband. Her husband left her, rather. She has a child. She's living with her grandmother up here, and she's telling us all this story. In the midst of this conversation, after a while, I look over and I look at my friend, and I go, hey, can we pray for you? And she goes, yeah. And so we just prayed in McDonald's with all these people wandering around. This worker wanted to go. She really wanted to check in, and we just prayed with her, prayed for her family, prayed for her work, because she didn't know she made her boss mad. And so I prayed for her, and she went away. She was 5 minutes early. He wouldn't let her stamp in, so she finally stamped in, and she came out wiping tables off. She came by our table, and she said, thank you guys for praying for me. I don't know who she is. I don't know if I'll ever see her again. I don't know. I'll be down at McDonald's in a few more weeks because we meet there once a month. Hopefully, I get to see her again. But plant some seeds. I don't know where that's going to go. Paul talked about one time, some plant, some water, and some harvest. Will you plant? Will you water? Maybe you'll be the one to harvest. I'm going to tell you, here's the amazing thing, and this is the truth. You guys many times do all the planting, you do all the watering, and then you call the preacher to come in and do the harvest. And that's the fun part. You miss the biggest blessing of sitting there praying with somebody. And it's simple prayer. You hear me say it week in and week out. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. I think some of you know that really well now. I've said it for 30 years, so you should have it down. You know, it's a simple message. See, can we go? Will you go? Will you share? So I pray. I pray God will send out harvesters. And here's, I'll give you a little hint. Let me tell you guys something. Don't pray for yourself to go. Pray for God to send out harvesters. All right? Did you hear me? Pray for God to send out harvesters. Because here's what I know. If you're praying for God to send someone, sooner or later, you're going to be that someone that God sends. I'm serious. If you start praying, God send someone to so-and-so, God send someone to so-and-so. I have prayed that prayer for my own kids, all right? Pray that prayer, and I bet sooner or later, guess what? God has sent you somewhere without you even knowing it, and it'd be a blessing in your life. Will you pray? The second one I put here is I give. I give to help others go. I give to help others go. Sometimes maybe you're at a stage in life where you can't go. Maybe some of you have a house full of kids, or you got some children. You got some preschoolers, and you just can't go right now. Then we give. Some of you may be a little more mature than others, and you can't get out and can't get around as much. We give so that others can go. We make it possible for others to go. That's why we have the cooperative program. You'll see us all through the month of December promoting the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, that we can help others go that God has laid on their heart to go. Look at what it says here. 3 John. We must support believers who go on trips like this so that we can work together with them in spreading the truth. It's about being a team. It's about that church concept. It's like I go, we go, the church goes. I hope you got that picture as I read all that off. Yeah. That's what it's about. Look at what it says here in Matthew 10. Freely you have received, freely give. Go. I give. Number 2, step out. I can step out in faith. God doesn't force you to do anything. Faith's not forced. Work's not forced. There is no draft in God's army. There's no conscription in God's army. You volunteer to be a part of what God is doing. One of my prayers have been in my life was this. Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing. God is up to some amazing things. God's doing some marvelous things. God's doing some awesome things. I've seen God change some lives that some people thought could never be changed. God, I just want to be a part of that. God, you're doing something cool. Can I be a part? You know, I'm going to tell you, God's train is moving. You just got to get on it. God is doing things. And many times you'll sit back and you'll see it go by, and then later down you see it happen. You say, well, I missed it. Don't miss it. Look at what God's word says. This is Isaiah. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I want to be a part of what God's doing. You know, many times what we'll do is we'll get our plans together and then ask God to bless us. You guys heard my dream of retirement, which is really not a retirement because I'm going to still work, is to go to Disneyland, right? I want to work at Disneyland. That's my dream, that I'll retire. They hire mature people. And I'm going to go down to Disneyland, Laura and I, and we'll get part-time jobs. But here's my goal. That's what Gary wants. Okay, God, I got my plan. Would you bless it? I've never prayed that, all right? What I dream of is this, that I go down there and I start serving, because I like ministering. I like visiting in the hospitals. I like serving people. That I'll go down there and start doing some ministry, and all of a sudden they say, hey, we need to pay you to be a chaplain. All right, that's what I want. Yeah. But I'm not going to ask God to bless my plans. I don't know what God's going to do. Yeah, my second plan, you know what my second option is? I'm going to die having a heart attack when I'm preaching to you guys. Now, I've already told you that. You guys just going to, somebody's going to, you know, get a, we're going to have to have one of those defibrillator things so Dan can get up here and Ron, and no mouth-to-mouth, please. All right? They don't need to do that anymore, they said. You can just use that thing. All right? I don't know what God's got planned, but you know what? I want to be a part of whatever it is. I was sitting back and remembering when I first came to this church. And I drive down Broadway. And the kids are all parked out in the middle on Friday nights drinking. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah. Remember after Christmas, we all had our bonfire. Anybody remember the bonfire we used to have in downtown Salida? Come on, man. We had all sorts of stuff. I remember the bonfire. I remember all that stuff. I remember the old blue church. I shared with you the first Sunday here, 35 windows broken. Yeah. All that stuff. Now I look at what God's done here. I think about all the people that's come through and all the people we've had an opportunity to minister to and share with and the kids through Vacation Bible School all these years. And God's up to something. I just want to be a part. Do you want to be a part? You want to be a part of what God does? You got to volunteer. It's up to you. Look at what it says here in Psalms. Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. Something that lasts. It's going to be there. It's an eternal plan from God. You know the most dangerous prayer you can pray? And somebody was telling me about this. They went to a conference. They prayed this prayer. God, use me. That's a dangerous prayer. Because if you pray that and you mean it, God will use you. But I challenge you to be dangerous. To live on the edge and see what God can do. Let's look at our last verse here. Go. Go where I can now. I circled the word now. I underlined it. I circle it. Go where you can now, right now. Don't worry about where you can't go. Maybe you can't go. You can go where you're at right now, wherever it's at. You know, I've thought, you know, I've liked to have gone to different places. I had a friend of mine that went to the Philippines years ago and did mission work and all that kind of stuff. That'd be fun. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to go overseas. I talked to somebody that just got back from Israel, had a great trip to Israel. Got the tour. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to go. Yeah. But you know what? My prayer is I'm going to own Salida. My prayer when I came 30 years ago was to pastor not the First Baptist Church of Salida, but the town of Salida. I want to minister to every home, everybody in Salida. That's my heart. I can't go everywhere, but I'm going to go right here, right now. And if God lets me go somewhere else, I'll go. I'd love to go. To experience something different. But right now, right here is where God has put me. You know, there was a man one time that Jesus was walking through town and this man had some personal demons. He had some things going on in his life. And he was crying out to Jesus and Jesus healed the man. And listen to what Jesus said to him. Jesus said, go back home and tell people how much God has done for you. So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. We're going to leave here in a little while, and I'm going to tell you, go home. Go to the restaurant. Go to your neighbor. Go to your family. Go to your friend. Go to a fellow student. Go to a coworker. Go and share the good news of Jesus. Just go and tell others that God loves them. That's it. You have to convince them. I'm going to tell you, I will not argue about anything in the Bible. Because I've never heard anybody say, well, you argued me, and that's the last argument I had. You knocked it down. I'm going to believe now. I've never had that happen. I'll tell you what they can't refuse is the love of God through you. When they know how much we love them, and it's just not a mark on our good list, that it's because we love them, it's going to change. And I want to challenge you, can we do that? Can we go? Can we share and help people discover Jesus Christ? There's a hurting world out there. There's burdens, there's battles, there's backgrounds. There's pursuits and there's accomplishments and achievements. They have all this thing. You know, I believe people live today and they're just living. They're just existing. They get up, they go to work, they come home, they eat a meal, they sit on their couch, they watch TV, they get to bed, they get up, they go to work, they come home, they eat dinner, they sit on the couch, they watch TV, they go to bed. That is not an abundant life. But that's many lives that people have. Is that true? And Jesus said, I've come to give you an abundant life. That's what he said, John 10:10. That's what he came for. Will we give that to others? Will you help people get out of that rut? Will you help people discover God? Look at what it says here, 2 Timothy. Work at bringing others to Christ. Work at bringing others to Christ. I circled that word work. It is work. You know what? What I've done this morning, I want to make sure you understood something. I've been really plain about this. It's scary, and it's work. You notice that? I didn't hide anything from you. If you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, you need to know these two things. It's scary and it's work, but the blessings are rewarding. If I had that cure to cancer and said, I'm not telling you. I had that cure to AIDS and I said, ha, my secret, your loss. You would think I was inhumane and a jerk. I have greater news than that. You need forgiveness for your past. You got that past that just won't let you go. You got those that guilt, that remorse, that stuff in your life that you can't get over. God can get under it for you. You got some burdens. You got some battles. You need peace. God has all that for you. See, we have that good news that our world needs to hear. So I want to challenge us. Will we share it? Will we tell others the good news? Will I be? I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and a relationship with one another. See, so I want to challenge you. This is the greatest time of the year. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, and we're giving God thanks for all he blessed us, and then we're going to have Christmas. I mean, I think about that, man. This is the greatest time, and we have the greatest message, and the world needs it now more than ever. We need to share it and tell the world, but it's work. So you know what? This is our memory verse. Remember our 6 memory verses? This is number 6. All right? We've been challenging. If this is your first week here, we've had this 6 weeks now, and we've had a memory verse every week, and I know you guys have been really good, and you guys all know those 5 of them, right? I don't get much confidence out of that. That wasn't real encouraging. So I can tell you right now, here, I'll give them to you. Ready? I can tell you. Isaiah 44:2, Romans 6:13, Ephesians 2:19, Romans 8:28, Ephesians 2:10, and this one today, 2 Timothy 2:5. See, I got them all memorized. Oh, 4 or 5. Thank you. See, I missed one. All right. See, I got them all up here. I can quote about 3 of them. I'm going to be honest. I'm an honest pastor. I can't quote them all either. I can come pretty close. But I'm not going to give up on you. You guys are smarter than me, right? Yeah, see, some of them already know it. Yeah. Let's do our memory verse. We got it at the last slide. It's on our last slide. Our memory verse is on the last slide. Let's do our memory. Remember how we do it now. We quote the reference. Then we quote the verse. And then we quote the reference, if I can remember to do that, all right? So let's do this memory verse together. Are you guys ready? Here we go. 2 Timothy 2:5. 4 or 5. Thank you. Let's start all over. Woo! All right. I'll make it yet. 2 Timothy, you ready? 2 Timothy 4:5. Work at bringing others to Christ. 2 Timothy 4:5. That should be easy because it's 4:5, all right? I got to get that one right. Memorize the word. I tell you this, when you store God's word in your heart, you might not remember it now, but I guarantee you, if you worked on these verses these last 6 weeks and you work on this verse as we wrap up, when you need these verses, I guarantee you, it will come to your mind. It will be there. You might not be able to quote them. I was telling people, I've memorized probably over 100 scriptures, maybe 200 scriptures, and I couldn't quote them all to you. But you know what? When I've needed that verse, it's come back. Somehow it just kind of flips through that Rolodex file, or it's like that search on a computer. You know, Google it. It's just kind of like my mind goes Google, and there it goes. Yeah. You will learn these verses, and I guarantee it will bless your life. But I want to challenge you. Who do you need to go to? I want you to think about who do you need to go to? God has sent you. His plan is going to happen. Will you be a part of it? Will you be a blessing in somebody's life, like my cousin Linda, that I can look back on and I still think about her, and she has a special place in my life because she's the one. She's the one that sat there and told me about Jesus Christ. My aunt that says, Gary, don't you need to get baptized? Don't you want to? Yeah, I do. But I'm afraid to walk in it. Can you believe that? I was afraid to walk an aisle in a church. Yeah. But God works. Will you let God use you this Christmas, this year? Will you let God do something special in you? Will you be sent? God is sitting there. Who will go? Who will go? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your words and your truths and your message. Lord, that you created us and you want a family, God. It is your heart's desire to have a bigger, growing, larger family. You want to adopt all, Lord. Not all are children, but you want to adopt all into your family. But they need to hear the message. And you've called us to send us. Lord, help us be your people in your world today. Let us be the generation that turns things around for your kingdom. Lord, we can look around in our world and feel so disappointed and so lost because the world is going the other way. We see the laws and we see the challenges in the courts and we see all this happening around us. But you're God and the government isn't. And people aren't. But you're God and what you said will happen. And we believe you. Let us be a part. Lord, I pray that each and every one here will pray and seek your face as they bring the message of being sent. That you lay upon our hearts those that you have put in our realm, that you put under our influence, whether they be family or friends, whether they be fellow students or co-workers, whether they be neighbors, or just somebody in the highway, Lord, like at McDonald's, that you'll let us love them and pray for them, that they may experience your love. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.